This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We carry on with our conversations on these elections post-mortem features. Now we move on to the Democratic Alliance. We'll be joined by the Member of Parliament, Silas Brink, who also serves in the Portfolio Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Silas, good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much for making the time. Of course, we are starting to see, you know, some developments in the space, at least the councils that have an outright, you know, majority are starting to sit. Your first win in KwaZulu-Natal, Umngeni, scheduled to sit, but I've been seeing the developments there, the DA, caucus walking out, and it seems, as I inquired it with some people reporting on the story, aggrieved with the municipal manager who's trying to oversee the process, and yet the MM is suspended. Do you have any details on that, on those developments, Silas?
I unfortunately don't know more than what you've just said, but what I suspect, and you know, you must be very careful to comment on things as they happen.
Yeah.
What I suspect is there is some resistance from the old guard in that municipality, and it seems that some sort of a compromised official is disrupting the meeting, and the municipal manager is refusing to restore order, because, as you know, after an election, it's the responsibility of the municipal manager to oversee the election of a speaker. And after that is done, the new political leadership basically takes over.
Takes over, absolutely. And I think the issue here seems to be the municipal manager, exactly the issue, because they were seemingly suspended by the last council over some PPE procurement issues. But let's leave that there.
Yeah.
It is a developing story, Silas, and we will continue to follow it up. As you come on board, also the Federal Council Chairperson making an announcement that the first coalition municipality arrangement will go on a sitting today. She hasn't given the name, said the municipality at some point will probably make the announcement itself.
Yes.
How are the negotiations going, though? Because it seems as though, given the number of councils that are hung, it's a much more elaborate process than it was in 2016.
It is a more elaborate process, and I think we've also learned from some definite mistakes that were made back in 2016. And I expect this process to take the full 2 weeks, that 2 week period that it takes since the gazetting. And I expect it to take that full 2 weeks because you sit with a set of very different circumstances.
Yeah.
In the Western Cape and Northern Cape, for example, you've got the smattering of small parties that regard themselves as the kingmakers or independents. And that will be a particular approach. And then you have the metros where it's a little bit more complicated. So I think there's good progress being made. But I also think that the public shouldn't be disheartened that announcements aren't being made overnight. Because you know the old saying of well begun is half done. And I think it's important that time be taken to craft proper coalition agreements, to get the commitments of the different parties out there. Otherwise, you will sit with a kind of instability that we unfortunately saw in many places in 2016, and also situations where the role of particular parties that are part of an arrangement isn't clear. And if you don't have clarity and if you don't have commitment up front, then that is a recipe for instability and for disappointment. And the last thing we want to do, especially after this very, very low turnout by voters in a nationwide election, is to breach the people's trust in coalition arrangements.
Absolutely. And I mean, at the Results Operations Center, the leader, John Steenhuisen, indicated that, you know, the legal team of the Democratic Alliance had been at work coming up with a legal framework that would be workshopped with the different political parties. How much pushback have you been receiving to those that you have been engaging with on that framework, which would be the basis of a coalition agreement / contract?
I don't think there has been pushback on the draft contract itself or the 10 non-negotiables that the DA put out there. I think most of the negotiation or the sticking points are probably about other details that don't concern the core principles. But at the same time, you know, I want to be careful not to give a blow-by-blow about, you know, what has been the cause of conflict and so forth, because these things are changing. And you want to negotiate in good faith, so you don't want to, you know, say things here to the public that haven't yet been said or aired or properly litigated with your potential coalition partners. So that good faith arrangement is important. But all that having been said, at the end of this process, there will be transparency. The public will have a sight of what these coalition agreements look like. And if the coalition negotiations fail, there'll be a frank assessment of why they failed and why, you know, the DA, for example, would rather in a particular council go back to opposition. So that's an important point. Transparency will happen. This won't be smoke, dark back rooms, smoke-filled rooms, or whatever the saying is. But I also think we shouldn't be doing blow-by-blows of how each of the different negotiations are going.
No, absolutely, Silas, and I respect that, given the sensitivity, really, of some of these talks to pronounce ahead of time. But I do think that we can still have a conversation on how developments are happening around the in-principle issues that are there. For example, do you think that, you know, I mean, some parties are keen not to occupy leadership positions. The Democratic Alliance has never shied away from, you know, leading where the opportunity arises. But as you have indicated that you will not lead at all costs and you will be more than comfortable to take opposition benches. The trade-offs that are there in terms of who might lead what city over the other. I mean, there are a number of cities that are hung. I mean, for example, down in KwaZulu-Natal, Msunduzi, opposition is sitting on 41 seats, the ANC at 40. In eThekwini, the ANC is sitting at 42%. That municipality is going to a coalition for the first time. You've got some seasoned councillors there who have been doing work for some time, like Nicole Graham with the caucus of eThekwini. Insofar as considering the trade-offs and where you might want to lead, where do you lean the most in terms of your interests to lead?
So our framework is the following. We don't want to form minority coalition governments. So we don't want to form a co-government that will not have a 50% plus one majority. And the reason for that is very simple, because it's an absolute recipe for disaster. And we saw it in the city of Tshwane. Yeah. You need that 50 plus one majority to appoint senior officials, to discipline senior officials, to pass your budget, to pass your integrated development plan, and to make other crucial decisions about bylaws and so forth. And as we also saw in Tshwane, and I'm talking Tshwane because Pretoria is where I live and I have my experience, these minority coalitions are especially vulnerable to power grabs and disruptions by the old guard. And Tshwane is the perfect example, where the fact that you didn't have an absolute majority in council meant that ANC and EFF councillors could walk out. And this was a pretext then for the intervention of the Gauteng provincial government. So that is what we would want to avoid. The second principle or the second condition is we're not going to do deals with the ANC for the simple reason it is very difficult to change a particular municipality if what you are changing is exactly the ANC policies and the ANC approach to government, and then you're sitting in the same government with the ANC. Mm. How you get rid of cadres and cadre deployment and reprioritize budgets and smash criminal networks if, quite frankly, our assessment of politics is that the ANC is part of the problem. And we won't form coalitions with the EFF. Our previous voting arrangements with them have gone horribly wrong. It's a party that does not share any of our values. So, you know, those are the most important ones to mention, aside from no doing deals about the appointment of municipal managers, keeping the separation between party and state. And once you apply those conditions, you can see which municipalities we do have the potential to form coalitions. For instance, the city of Tshwane, there, if you put some of the opposition parties together, you do have that crucial 50% plus one majority, and other places as well. KwaZulu-Natal is going to be an interesting situation, of course, completely different kettle of fish from Gauteng in the Western Cape. And there, of course, the Inkatha Freedom Party will play a leading role in much of these new opposition-led councils.
And, of course, you've worked with them in some instances. In fact, in one of the local government elections, you even went out as as core partners in terms of, you know, garnering support in the electorate. Of course, the leader there, John Steenhuisen, saying it was quite a disaster in the sense that you then demotivated some people from voting for you because they're like, ah, but why have you already chosen a partner and so on? But you do have good rapport with the IFP. Have you started conversations with them?
Yes, I think the IFP is a very important potential coalition partner. We share some of the values that the IFP have. But again, I think the situation in KwaZulu-Natal and potential negotiations with the IFP only show how different the different parts of South Africa are. In the past, the IFP, for example, tended towards supporting the ANC in Johannesburg. Which is their position. You know, at this particular stage, it's not for me to criticize or to cast aspersions, but I believe that the IFP have indicated that they would prefer not to form part of ANC coalitions as well.
But I mean, when that happened, though, Silius, in 2019, they did come out in one way or the other saying they had been disappointed by the conduct of the DA. That's why they are now going with the ANC. And of course, there was a hung municipality as well in KwaZulu-Natal that they were hoping that the ANC would assist them to gain control over.
Yeah, so that move was dictated by the politics and the numbers back then. But I think the politics and the numbers now are quite different. You know, we've sat for 27 years in a dominant party democracy, and not for a single moment do I say that we are yet in a post-ANC period, but we're certainly on the verge of it. And it would seem that the loss of trust in the ANC has even repelled or deterred parties like the IFP, who have got a long tradition of cooperating with the ANC in different places. To say, you know, let's rather go for change. Yep. So I think there's lots of room for negotiation and for possible agreement with the IFP.
Okay, Silius, I'm going to take a short ad break. When I come back, I'll put a tweet to you by Sintletsi giving us a rap there that when the DA keeps saying the arrangement with the EFF went horribly wrong, we don't necessarily put a question of what is it exactly that you are referring to, and is it really not about service delivery for the poor? I'll give you a chance to respond to this after this short ad break. 0861-987-000 is the dial if you want to also be in conversation as we continue with this election post-mortem. Keza and Reggie, I see you on the line.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mnguni. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Indeed, 9 minutes to 11 o'clock. My guest is Silius Brink, DA Member of Parliament, but also quite well-versed with the negotiations as they carry on. Of course, none of the political parties want to give that nitty-gritty detail because so much can hang in the balance as we have this conversation. But Silius, that tweet by Sintletsi really saying, you know, what is it that horribly went wrong with with the EFF arrangement, and I'm going to ride on it and say the EFF was pretty happy with the arrangement in the city of Johannesburg, but the manner in which, you know, Mashaba interfaced with the EFF while he was mayor of the DA did get him into conflict a bit with Bruma from time to time, because some believed that he had a lot of, the EFF had a lot of sway in the things that were happening there, which was not the case in other metros. What would you say went wrong with that DA-EFF arrangement, which was never codified, of course?
Well, let me just start with the premise of the question, and that the premise is that the EFF represents the interests of the poor, and I think that is completely false. I think via that party's involvement with the looting of VBS Bank, which in turn led to the collapse of many municipalities whose majority of residents are poor and in rural areas, shows clearly and the complete lack of accountability by the leadership of that party.
Well, I suppose the party itself can be exonerated, but the jurors may still be out on some of the leaders. Some might say they are not even charged.
Well, and I think it's a problem that they're not charged, because I think we have quite a lot of evidence already in the public domain. So I think other things that the EFF does, such as encouraging land grabs, it's always aimed at, you know, saying, oh, it's the rich that will suffer from this, but it's not the rich that suffer from land grabs. It's usually the lower middle class, people with bonded houses in places like Mamelodi, not Waterkloof, that suffer when there's land grabs. So it's a complete falsehood to say that the EFF represents the interests of the poor. I think they represent the interests of their own party leaders. But let me start with Tshwane before I answer your pertinent question as to Johannesburg. In Tshwane, what you had with the GLAD Africa matter was when Mayor Solim Simanga said to the parties in council that he wants to bring the matter to council for investigation. The EFF immediately told him back then, we will pass a motion of no confidence in you. So they threatened a motion of no confidence because the mayor wanted to investigate irregularity. Later on, when it came to suspending and investigating the municipal manager under whose hand that particular tender was signed, it was the EFF that came to his rescue, and in certain instances accompanied by the ANC. So that was an absolute disaster. And, you know, they could just behave in any which way because they weren't tied to any set of principles, and there was no common set of values between, you know, Solim Simanga's government and the EFF, who wanted to be shadow directors. In Johannesburg, we know that Herman Mashaba had a very good relationship with the EFF. The problem is that in many instances, his DA caucus felt that he was closer to the EFF than to the DA. And again, it was on substantive issues, you know, when EFF leaders made incited land grabs, and that was particularly in the south of Johannesburg, again, poor folks, not rich, wealthy people in the northern suburbs that suffered this. You know, I think there was a disappointment in that the mayor did not speak out against it or give a clear line. And there were other instances as well. So I think we can agree that the DA's values do not accord with that of the EFF. And I think the fact that the EFF in many ways behaves like an ANC faction makes it a bit disingenuous to say, you know, we won't cooperate with the ANC, but let's do it with the EFF.
But
because I don't think there's much of a difference.
Quickly before,
and in fact, the EFF is in some many instances far worse than the
quickly
ANC.
Before I go to the line and just give some people a chance to have a word with you. But on the question of Tshwane, you, the DA, decided to remove Mayor Solim Simang. It seems as if you were also just not happy with his performance.
No. Solim Simanga was never removed as the mayor. He decided to run for Gauteng premier under the DA's banner. So there was a feeling in the party that Solim Simanga was one of the strongest possible contenders for such a position. Name recognition-wise, he's proven himself. He's somebody who can relate to different people. Now, we can argue after the fact whether it was a good idea for him to to be selected as the premier candidate in Gauteng.
Absolutely. And whether,
but he was not removed. That is not
true. Well, we probably need more time because he was initially not even running for premier of Gauteng. Actually had promised his support to Mahashule Ghana, but a story for another day. Kaiser, 30 seconds. Good morning.
Okay, thank you, Connor. Celebrating, how are you?
Go ahead.
I just want to ask you, Celebrating, there is Tapo Morem here actually in Pretoria, Lukona. In 2016, DA campaigned about creating jobs, vote for jobs. I want to know how many jobs they have created. And the other thing, they said they will work with small businesses. I want to know how many small businesses, how many small businesses they have worked with.
Okay.
I thank you.
Got you loud and clear. Let's go to Falaza. Good morning.
Good morning, bro. How are you?
I'm well. Go for it.
Thank you very much. I think DA must explain something extraordinary as to exactly what is it that the EFF has done, because I don't pick up when they tell us that the EFF is corrupt. They talk about the VBS, and none of the EFF leaders are currently facing the VBS. Probably DA represent the same definition of politicians, which, I mean, liars all the time. They must tell us exactly that, you know, the EFF, I mean, they are caught in the VBS scandals on the basis of this evidence before the court. Other than that, it remains a rumor. So I think the difference between DA and the EFF, probably it is, I mean, their ideological stance, because the call for the expropriation of land is something that is scaring the DA. And we cannot look on avoid
okay.
that because people
Falaza.
Need land.
Got you loud and clear. Michael, let's close off with you. Good morning. Michael?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead quickly.
Yeah, I know the GA and the EFF doesn't agree on the national interest issues, but on the local issues, you know, they want to boot out the ANC to deliver service to the people. So they agree on that term. Why can't they work together?
Okay, Michael, straightforward. I think, Silas, that is an important question about, you know, national versus local issues and why not work together where the local issues intersect.
Should I start with jobs or the EFF?
Any of the two, just right.
Okay, let me just respond to the questions as they were asked. So any government, but especially a municipal government, when it speaks about creating jobs, it's not about how many people do you get on the payroll of the municipality, because that payroll is limited. If you insource everybody and employ everyone, the municipality will spend all of its money on paying salaries instead of, building infrastructure, maintaining that infrastructure, providing facilities and services like waste collection. So everybody needs to understand the limitations in which any government operates. And what the DA in Tshwane and elsewhere tried to do is to create the conditions that will draw investment and jobs. How do you create those conditions? You invest in service infrastructure. You make sure that there's a reliable supply of water and electricity. And I think in that regard, certainly there was, as much as the city could invest in those infrastructure, there was that investment. There was certainly an improvement after 2016 in the financial position of the city, which is a precondition to building and maintaining anything. If you're on the edge of bankruptcy, there's really no prospect of improved services. I think that there has been significant investment in Tshwane, and it's very important that whatever happens, whether the DA is in government or in opposition, that all of the political parties takes responsibility for stability and effective government in Tshwane, because disrupting things is really not in anybody's long-term benefit. We have to look at the residents of the city, at the prospects of jobs and investment.
Okay, Silas, we are running out of time. Maybe
right,
just a quick bite on the EFF stuff and local issues.
Okay, all right. So I've mentioned the links between VBS and the EFF have been drawn by reporters such as Ama Bongane. I'm not going to repeat what they've already found, and I think there is a strong case for the National Prosecuting Authority to start acting on that evidence. As for local issues, I think it is a bit of a mistake to say that you get ideological issues and then you get local issues. Look at the conditions that the EFF put for their coalition partners, their conditions, not the DA's conditions.
Okay.
And that makes it clear to you why The EFF is completely ideological, and that ideology is just, it doesn't accord with
Silas,
what the DA stands
let's,
for.
Let's leave it there. The chairperson was there talking. Thank you so much, Silas Brink, DA Member of Parliament, giving us the lowdown from the Democratic Alliance.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.